Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan.
I try to break myself of bad habits, and I fail more times than I succeed, but one thing I have succeeded in over the years, I never thought I'd be able to do this because I did it for so long, was I have stopped biting my nails. I just forced myself into the idea. First off, it's an indication, I think, when you bite your nails and people see your hands, they can learn a lot about you. They can learn that you're probably, perhaps, in my case at least, you're riddled with anxiety, and I think that people do it to self-soothe. Even when you don't have any nails to bite, you ever see somebody that just sticks their tips of their fingers in their mouth and just kind of chews? It's very unattractive when you think about it. Also, I think that there's a health reason, too. My grandmother used to tell me that I would get worms, believe it or not, if I bit my nails. So, but today on Body Bags, we're going to talk a little bit about fingernails. We're going to talk about fingernails from an evidentiary standpoint. Maybe we'll learn a thing or two, but I can tell you this. We're going to talk about how fingernails actually point to a murderer. I'm Joseph Scott Morgan, and this is Body Bags. Dave, I don't want to get too personal with you. Mm-hmm. However, our own personal habits and whatnot. You ever had trouble or find yourself biting your nails when you get nervous? Is that something that's ever affected you in any way? It's not something most people think of, I think. I always look at people's hands. I always look at their nails. It's just this thing that I have.
I've never bit them like down to the quick and stuff. I've never done that, but keep them trimmed. I don't get mani-pedis or anything, but I try to keep them, manageable, but I usually, use a pair of scissors or whatever is convenient, you know. I don't bite them.
Well, as long as you're not using a steak knife, I feel okay. I feel okay about it.
Yeah. Come by, I'll invite you for dinner. We'll have steak and baked potato. Oh, sorry about that. And that fingernail. I apologize. It just is there in the drawer.
Yeah. Fingernails are a curious thing. But, you know, for most of us, and certainly when we look at this from an investigative standpoint, we talk about fingerprints on body bags.
Right.
But, you know, you can leave marks behind with fingernails as well. And so that's something that we really explore in forensics.
Well, you know, today we're talking about the death of Destiny Duckett. Destiny was only 22 years old, and she was found dead by a cousin who went to visit and knocked on the door, and Destiny didn't come to the door. She couldn't get in. The door was locked. And so she called police and said, "Can you help me?" Because she heard a baby crying inside. Destiny had a 2-month-old son, and her cousin could hear the baby crying inside, but she couldn't get Destiny on the phone. She couldn't get her to come to the door. And so a 911 call was made, and they made entry into the apartment and found Destiny dead on the floor, and her 2-month-old baby, a 2-month-old, 8 weeks, 2-month-old baby crying, screaming on the bed.
You know, I hate these kind of cases. I don't want you to think that I like more. I like other homicides more than I do certain other ones. But, you know, when you, anytime that you kind of couple this idea of children, you know, in this environment, and they are literally left behind, and I'll back up just a second, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you, for those that have not heard me on the Piketon Massacre, which my friends at KT Studio produced, I was on that program and still continue to interact with that case and on television as well. There were 3 kids in that multiple homicide, 8 mm-hmm. people killed in one night. And there were 3 kids involved in that, a couple of infants that were left at those scenes alive, you know, rolling around in the blood of their executed parents. And you think, you know, killing another adult human being is brutal, but when you leave behind a child in this environment, it goes to another level of horror, I think, because you have no idea what's going to happen to that precious baby, and no idea whatsoever, and it just shows a level of callousness that I don't know that we can really, you know, plumb the depths of, Dave.
No, you think about it, because you do have the mother is deceased, and the baby is left to fend for himself. He's 8 weeks old. Now, the person that commits the murder knows there's a baby here and knows the baby is crying and leaves willingly the dead body of the baby's mother and the baby by itself to fend for himself, which he cannot do. So, in essence, he's creating an opportunity for the baby to also die. Unless the mother is found. And if the cousin doesn't come by when she does, there's no telling what could have happened or what did. What we do know, though, is that immediately, as police always do, we have a homicide, because she obviously did not kill herself like this in the state that she's in. I guess I say obviously, but I guess it's not obvious when you find a dead body. I'm sure there are circumstances, Joe, that you've come into that this individual could have taken their own life. But as this investigation began, they immediately started thinking, okay, who was here? There are security in this day and age, between Ring doorbells and surveillance video being so affordable now, a lot of businesses have it. And in this case, businesses and personal surveillance videos actually was able to show who went in and out of the doors at this particular place where Destiny lived. And it didn't take long for police to actually find the person they were looking for. Not right away, not the first day, but they did find Jared Rahim Abdul Ali. They had found in their investigation that he had actually gone to the apartment, and they arrested him for that. The reason they arrested Jared Rahim Abdul Ali after they saw him on video going into the apartment is because she, Destiny, had a protection order against him. And Destiny Duckett, in this protection order, he was not allowed near her or his son. The 2-month-old was the son of Jared Rahim Abdul Ali. Now,
let me get this. Hang on. Let's get this straight.
Yes.
this is not some stranger off of the street that did this.
Well, they don't know that. They don't know that, right? At first, they don't know it, Joe.
Right.
See, because when I was investigating this, they said that the suspect was already in custody when they interviewed him. And they kept saying that all the reports said the suspect is in custody on another charge, on a different charge. And I had to dig through this to find out that the reason Jared Rahim Abdul Ali was in jail on a previous charge, the previous charge was he was in jail because they saw him entering the apartment while they were investigating the murder. They didn't have evidence to charge him with the murder yet, but they were able to put him in jail for breaking the TPO, the temporary protection order that was against him. Destiny had filed that. And so by him being at her apartment, they were able to put him in jail on that charge while they investigated the murder. Now, I don't know how quickly police jump from one conclusion to the next. I'm assuming they don't. Joe, you're much more aware of how they think than I do. I look at something and I think, well, it's obvious. You know, he was seen going into her apartment. She's now found dead. The baby's unharmed. But you guys can't do that. As investigators, you have to figure out everything and get it all in order before you can sit down and charge somebody.
Yeah, you do. And you try to logically pace yourself, I think, through all of the steps of the investigation, because the worst thing you can do is to jump to any kind of conclusion about what might be.
Because okay? It's possible that he could have gone there to visit against the TPO.
Right.
And left, and somebody else came through and killed her.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. And, you know, I guess that there are a lot of other possibilities that might exist too. And you have to entertain these and try to pare them down logically as an investigator to try to get an idea. First off, look, one of the things that we really dig into when we have cases like this is that, and I've said this before, we look into the circle of intimates involved in a case. Who knows Destiny? Who knows her? Who would impact her life? Who would be so angry with this 22-year-old mother of a 2-month-old child that they would, in fact, take their hands, wrap them around her throat, and according to a forensic pathologist, choke her for as long as 15 minutes. I'm Joseph Scott Morgan, and a big shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. I live in an area where allergies are a day-to-day issue, and finding an over-the-counter option for relief is like the Holy Grail. I use Astepro, and I strongly recommend you give it a try. Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray, and it's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays can take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Years ago, when I got out of my field full time, I was diagnosed with PTSD. I had sleep disorder. I had depression. And for me, I had to turn to someone to talk to, somebody that could aid me along the path to healing, to restore me to that person that maybe I was at one point in time, to make me better for not just myself, but my family. If you're thinking about therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can do this anytime that you like. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bags today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com. That's better, HELP.com/bags.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If we're talking about a case, Dave, I am always going to look at the inner circle. You have to, because it's the inner circle. Well, the way I describe it is the person's life, the victim's life, is like, if you think about a target, like a standard target that has a bullseye right in the center, the body and the victim is that bullseye. And then everything else just kind of radiates out from there. And I have to prove or disprove those things contained within the bullseye in the immediate circle adjacent to that person and their remains. And then it extends out from there.
Do you have to kind of do a parallel thing? Like, you've got the inner circle of the boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, but there's also the possibility that maybe of somebody else. So do you have to, okay, we got this one thing, we're going to check out the family and friends, but also look for everything else that's available. I mean, it seems kind of crazy, but don't you have to? Because
absolutely. You do. You have to. And I would, here's something else to consider too. You know how, you know, and you could probably hear it in my voice, about the 2 month old.
Yeah.
You and I both have a heart for babies. Mm-hmm. And, police officers do too. Say what you will about cops. You come across an environment that has a child where they're impacted, particularly a child that is this helpless. And we're talking about a 2 month old, Dave.
They can't even roll.
I know. And you're thinking about the police are going to put the spurs to this one. They are really, really going to show up and they're ready to work. And they're going to try. And this is the measure they're going to take of it. And it's kind of the reaction I had early on. Who in their right mind would do this and then leave a 2 month old in this environment? Because there's no guarantee that she's going to be found.
Right.
That is the mother, the relative that shows up. I guess on one hand, you could look at it and say, it's dumb luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dumb luck that she came by. I know she's worried about her. Obviously they have a relationship. But, you know, the fact that she did find her, what if something had happened? What if something that in this relative's life, they have to go do something else? They have to go to work, or maybe they have their own kids, or maybe
what if the baby's
sick.
Not crying, Joe?
What if the baby's not crying?
And that was what got them to call the 911. That's how 911 got there. They're like,
absolutely.
If the baby's not crying, there's no reason to break down a door.
No reason whatsoever. So you think about that, and that's what kind of ignites it, I think, in any, not just this case, but any case where the police are investigating a case that involves a small child. because it is the litmus test. You begin to kind of profile the individual that would have perpetrated this kind of crime. You're looking at somebody that is so callous and disengaged with what we would consider normal behavior that who's to say that this individual won't go on to kill somebody else?
Right.
I mean, just think about it. I mean, it's one thing to fly into a rage and kill somebody, all right? But if you're going to do this and leave a baby in your wake, there's no limit to what you might potentially do, Dave.
Well, you know, the investigation actually, as they dug into it, they arrested Abdul Ali because they saw him entering the apartment the night before her body was found. Her body was found on February 13th, about 11 o'clock in the morning. They saw him going into her apartment before midnight on the night of the 12th. When you flash forward to what we know at 11, by he's going into her house before midnight. And then the next day at 11:03, when the cousin calls 911 and they find Destiny Duckett dead and the baby crying. So there's at least 10 or 11 hours there, probably.
Lag.
Yeah. Between the time that Destiny Duckett has been murdered and the baby is crying, and if the baby's not screaming and crying, when the cousin comes to the door, there's no reason to enter in there, knock on the door, she's not answering. But thankfully, that was what got the police to go, okay, Abdul Ali couldn't be here because she had a PTO, a TPO against him, or a PA, whatever it's called there in Pennsylvania. PFA, I think is what it's called. And by him being at the apartment that they saw, and while they're investigating the murder, they see him entering on February 12th against the PFA order. So they were able to pick him up, put him in jail. Now he's on ICE. Now they're investigating, Joe. The baby's being taken care of by somebody. And now they have the body. Do they start by dusting the entire apartment? Do they start by removing the body? What did they do first?
No. Well, first off, everything, again, let me go back to my analogy with the bullseye. When you're working the scene, this has nothing to do with suspects. This has everything to do with the scene. Scene is worked concentric to the body. So being concentric as opposed to eccentric. I'm a college professor, and there's a lot of us college professors that are very eccentric. You've heard that term. You don't hear the term concentric very often.
I used to think y'all were so smart until I met you guys. And then I went, y'all are nuts.
There you go.
Is it the students that made you nuts?
Not in my case, at least. I can't speak to, I can only speak to my situation.
I understand.
And yes, I'm nuts. So there you go. I've confirmed it. But yeah, so at a crime scene, you think about working the case concentrically. So, and again, this is no disrespect to the dead, but let's look at this from a practical scientific standpoint, from a forensic standpoint. The body, in all cases where there is a body present, is the single largest piece of evidence that you have. Everything else, it's the font that everything else springs from, okay? And so you work out from that body. In most cases, we try to work the scene with the body present as long as we possibly can and then remove the body. But one of the problems you encounter at a scene with a body indwelling is that you have to be very careful when that body is being removed from the scene, because you don't want to disrupt anything peripheral to the remains, like coffee tables, sofas, debris on the floor that lead to the body. Maybe you've got a blood trail that literally leads to the body, and you have to weigh this out on balance. If we remove the body, are we running the risk of destroying something or rearranging something? Or because it's all about the relationship to the physical evidence relative to the remains, you know, what kind of actions took place that brought about the death of the subject. Sometimes at scenes, you will have multiple teams of people that are doing different things. So let's just say you've got the ME investigator, coroner investigator that's examining the body. Now, you'll probably have the lead detective in the room. Then you're going to have a photographer that's there, that's taking like 360 degree views of the body. They're doing macro and micro photography. And then you, depending upon the department, you're going to have a print person that's there. And they're going to go over particular areas where they can dust for prints, particularly on surfaces that you might be looking for latent prints. You think about bathroom surfaces, even the table, maybe the coffee table adjacent to the sofa. The sofa, if it's a poor surface, like a cloth or something, you're not going to be able to lift anything. Maybe there's a drink container that's sitting there that has just been left and no one took it to the kitchen to put it in the sink or the dishwasher. You're going to print that. And the other thing relative to all of this is that when you have a case like this poor woman that has been brutally murdered, there could be intimate evidence that's there. I mean, like at a molecular level. So if I dust an area, is there a chance? Is there a chance that I might disrupt any kind of DNA evidence that might be at scene in the scene? So when we manage cases, you're managing it extending out from the scene where you're going around, you're looking for suspects, but then you have to manage the case as it applies to the scene itself. And you have to be meticulous about it. And you literally document every step that you take along the way, because all that you do is going to be drawn into question.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So the police up in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, they do have a mystery on their hand. I mean, they have a suspect, but you talk about this is not a standard day in the life of a police officer in Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
When I was looking at this, this is why I was so glad you, I'm not glad anybody's dead.
Right.
I'm glad you wanted to cover it, because as we look at a lot of these stories, this one seems pretty cut and dry, but it really isn't. When I looked at what the police actually did and how forensically they tied this in a bow. If you've ever wondered how do people get away with a crime, look at the way they solved this one, because they have the ex-boyfriend, father of the 8-week-old, on surveillance video going into the apartment. And because she had a protection order against him, they were able to pick him up and put him on ice. So he's in jail. He is their primary suspect.
He ain't going nowhere.
No. And they've got him. So now they can actually spend time not worrying about some crazy guy running around, because just from the outside, they knew probably that's our guy. But they still, that's why I asked you at the beginning about a parallel investigation, because they have their main suspect and they have proof right off the bat that it's probably him. But they still got to make sure, because
absolutely
he could be crazy and just admit it. Yeah, I did it, when he didn't do it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, now, there was a part of this that got me on the body, okay? Because what I looked at was, how did they, what did they do? Because this guy didn't admit it. You know, Abdul Ali did not go to the police and say, excuse me, sir, can I just tell you what I did? It's not what they did. They actually had to meet with him several times, and his story changed every time they gave him a new bit of evidence. So let me ask you this, because Ali claimed that they were having sex, and there were bruises and marks on her chest that he claimed happened while they were having sex. And when forensically they were looking at all of this, they were able to tell that's not what it was at all. And they were able to pretty much tell him exactly what happened. And then he admitted and talked about it. But what did they find on her chest, the markings that made them realize what had transpired, Joe?
There's an interesting thing that's at work here, because we'll get to this poor woman's neck and what they found there to begin with. However, I'd really like to address this idea of these marks on her chest that you had mentioned. There is a practice that some people engage in that's actually referred to as burking. And this is...
Burking?
It's like an asphyxia. It's a form of compression asphyxia. And people do it for a number of reasons. I think that there's a group of people out there that involve this in their bedroom activities, if you will. And, you know, we have a whole group of people out there that do things relative to oxygen deprivation, you know, autoeroticism, things like that. But it comes down to an idea of control. And so with compression asphyxia, if you place your body weight on an individual, you don't necessarily have to wrap your hands or ligature around their throat. I mean, for my friends out there that have brothers and sisters, if you were ever a little kid and you were involved in the pig pile and you're on the bottom, you know how horrible that is. Or somebody holds you beneath water when you're little, you know, when you're playing in the pool and whatnot, and that kind of you're struggling for air, your chest can't expand.
Or your older brother leaning on your chest and giving you the spit treatment, making you drool out of his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so we've all experienced something like that, but you take this to this level, and the forensic pathologist actually married up, which I think is quite fascinating. I don't know that I've ever covered a case. I know that I haven't. I've never worked a case like this. This is one of the things that makes this very unique forensically, of where the forensic pathologist was able to offer an opinion that these kind of marks or contusions that are on her chest were consistent, Dave, with someone's knees being placed there. So if you can imagine the weight of a grown man on a female's chest, so that means that she's face up. She's in what's referred to as a supine position. So this is face to face. He's staring her in the eye. Just let this sink in just for a second. Even if he doesn't have his hands wrapped around her neck, he's still got her in a position where his legs are folded beneath him. His body weight is directly being supported by his knees, or being transferred from his knees to her chest. Imagine how hard it would be for her to take up oxygen. You can't. And so he concluded, he being the forensic pathologist in Pottsville, determined that this had to be a compression-related event just in that element of it alone. Now, what will really kind of send a chill up your spine with this case, and I'm going to throw out the T word here. I'm going to say that there is a certain level of torture that's involved with this. Because anytime you have a case of oxygen deprivation that's being perpetrated on another individual, it can be said, I think, that there is that this would be a torturous death because, you know, you're trying to breathe, you can't breathe, your body is being compromised to this point. Dave, the forensic pathologist actually stated that he had never encountered a case with this many fingernail marks on a human body. So what does that mean? You know, we were talking early on about fingernails. When an individual is wrapping their hands around a subject and they are digging their fingernails into the neck as they are choking, applying pressure, you leave these little elliptical injuries to the surface of the skin. And for everybody, that take a look at the tips of your fingers right now, and you'll see how, you know, your fingernails have this elliptical shape to it, and they're like little blades and they dig into the skin. And so every time you readjust your hand, say you have to re-grip, remember now, all the while, allegedly he's on her chest, applying direct pressure to her chest. She can't breathe that way. And he keeps squeezing her neck with his fingertips wrapped around, and he's readjusting. So she's got multiple, probably upwards of 30 marks on her neck. And, you know, if you've got, okay, let's face it, you got 10 fingers, right? 30 marks at least. And some of those are probably going to be overlapping. That means that you're adjusting and readjusting. You're gripping and regripping. So for a moment in time, she gets hope. When the pressure's released, she can, for that moment, take up breath, but all of a sudden the pressure is reapplied and it's applied in a different position. I actually worked a case, several cases involving a serial perpetrator. He killed like 6 women, and he would torture women by using a ligature around their neck of a wire. And he would drug them and then take the wire and wrap it around their neck. And he would apply pressure, wrap it, and then unwrap it. And he would reset the ligature around their neck multiple times, bring them to the edge of death, and then allow them to breathe again. And it was a torturous death. And so that's kind of what you're looking at when you're examining a body in this state. Now, whether or not it was intentional, I have no idea. But you when you kind of take the long view of this and you begin to think about how over the top this is relative to the death that she would have suffered, how long it took her to die. Dave, I'm not really sure how they arrived at this conclusion, but Bubba, they said this went on for probably about 15 minutes.
Actually, it came from him. Joe, when they had the detective sitting down in the jail, and as I told you, he changed his story multiple times. They came in with evidence and they would interview him, and they would get a statement from, then they'd go back and they'd come back again. Because as we mentioned, they already had him in jail on the TPO, on the FPA. So he's in jail for even being at the apartment, and they're able to keep getting him into a corner on his story. And so they would come in with more evidence and now I remember I did this or I did that. And finally, it was the culmination of all of the evidence that finally, when they had, you know, when they have a hearing to determine whether or not there's enough to go to trial. Even if somebody confesses, you know, they still go through the motions of a trial. And that's what they had here. And he, the actual suspect, Abdul Ali, said once they, that he had his hands around her throat for at least 15 minutes. I didn't realize what the fingerprints meant, Joe. I read through all of this, and until you told me, I did not know that's what those marks meant, of that just slow playing. Now, he arrived at the apartment at 7:36. They see him on video going into the apartment, 7:36 p.m. on the 12th, February 12th, the evening. They see him leaving the apartment 5 hours and 10 minutes later at 12:46 a.m. She's alive when he gets there at 7:36. Did he torture her that whole time?
That's the big question, isn't it? And
I need to add this. Yeah. They just had his trial went 3 days. He was found guilty. Now, he had already admitted all of this. This was just going through the motions, getting to sentencing, which will take place later. At the preliminary hearing, one of her friends, one of Destiny Duckett's friends, yelled at him, "Justice will be served." Abdul Ali looked back and replied, "We'll see about that."
You know, just when you think you've gone to the basement relative to the level of human depravity, you never quite hit or touch the bottom. Because, you know, when we started discussing this case, you think about that precious 2-month-old and what that child's life is going to be like from now on moving forward. And it begs the question, you know, will justice be served? And I'm not talking about for the perpetrator. Will justice be served for this child? The child that's been left behind, the child that was physically present in that dwelling as that child's mother took her last breath, as that child screamed to be comforted while lying in their bed. Will there ever be any justice for that child? I don't know, but I know that this guy's off the street. This guy's been convicted, and he's going to be sentenced. I'm Joseph Scott Morgan, and this is Body Bags.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.